Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle Young
and Truman Blocker.
Thank you, Truman, for joining us.
Thanks,
it's wonderful to have our family intact here.
Joel and Danielle, it's so wonderful to be here with you and to share the Word of God.
Let's touch the world for His glory.
For His glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Today, people, we're teaching and we welcome you to join us. Have your Bible, pen, paper, and a willingness to hear. And if you're not a believer, you will believe. Listen carefully. Here's the topic, and the name of this particular show is, Can a Christian be sinless? Question, can a Christian be sinless? What is our answer? Is it yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Do we have an example of a sinless Christian?
One for sure was Jesus.
Oh, absolutely. Jesus is a Christian. He is the Christian. He defines Christianity. He is the Christ himself. Now, this is excerpted from our new book, which is called
Why God? Come and See.
And they can go to our website, which is located where?
www.forhisglory.org.
Great. And they can go order the book, or they can even call directly if they like, or Fulfillment Center, which phone number is?
That's the connection, which is 1-866-426-7337.
Would you just give that to them twice, Truman, so they have it? Please read it again, the number for them.
Yes, it's the connection. It's spelled with an X, C-O-N-N-E-X-T-I-O-N, and their number is 1-866-426-7337.
Thank you both. So again, the name of this series of this particular show is Can a Christian Be Sinless? And our position is yes. The prime example we present to you is Jesus the Christ. Christ is not his last name. It's the Messiah, or HaMashiach in Hebrew, or HaChristos in Greek. He is the Messiah, the Anointed One. Jesus is the Christian. Now, what about the rest of Christianity? Do we have other Christians that are walking around sinless?
Well, I would say we can walk around sinless for a few minutes.
All right, well, let's posit that in a moment. Do we have any other Christians in the world who are absolutely sinless, period? We'd like to think so, but what if there were none? Would that change the fact that you can be?
No.
No. What's the percentage of people who have lied in their lives or cheated on exams or misrepresented the truth?
100%.
Probably right up there, I would think so.
Right.
Does that mean because it's common, it's correct?
No.
No. This in Latin you call, this is argumentum ad populum, or the argument by numbers. Well, 1 million people said this product, this item, this person must be knowledgeable, must be great, it must work for you. Can they all be wrong?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. Does more people saying the wrong thing make it right?
No.
No. Does it make it any more correct or any less correct if they have 1 million more people saying the same thing?
No,
because truth is objective.
Right.
And people, you should not object to that. So, the truth being objective, it is what it is, period. Now, can a Christian be sinless? Well, let's see. Can you be sinless? First, is a Christian a sinner? Yes or no? What do you think?
No, there are Christians who sin.
Ah. Okay, there are Christians who sin as opposed to sinners who sin. Yes, Daniel?
When churches were taught that we are sinners.
Ah, so. Well, they're wrong.
Yes.
With all due respect to my family, we have to be honest and speak the truth in love. I'm speaking the truth and in love, because to do less would be not to love you. So, we are sinners before we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, God, Savior, God having come in the flesh, and we give him our life and destiny, believing that God raised him from the dead and that we have power in his name and that he's been resurrected. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe in him. We give him our life. We've confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Romans in the New Testament, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Therefore, we are saved. We are saved. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. That if any man be in Christ, he or she, they're a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, all things are new. So, if I was a sinner before Christ, and that term sinner means that that was my nature. This, I think, is confusing to some people. I need this point of distinction. Before, my nature was a sinner, and therefore I did according to my nature. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is good. Listen, I'll get it out of my head. Before I was a sinner, therefore I did, according to my nature, I sinned. I was true to that which is false. Mm-hmm. Now I am a new being. The old has passed away. I'm born again, born from above. Genethe anothen in the Greek in John 3. I believe it's verse 3 where Jesus says you must be born again. Literally in the Greek, genethe anothen means born again and born from above. Well, which is it? If you're born again after mom's womb, you have to be born from above. And if you're born from above, you are born again. There's those rich double meanings that scholars pick up in John, which is so clear and simple to the initiate. And decades later, it is the most subtle to the scholar because he has these type of statements as a case in point to bearing evidence to that fact. So now that we have new natures, when I sin, that's not according to my nature. I'm sinning against my true nature. The sinner sins according to his nature. Both sin. The Christian sins against his Christian Christ nature. Mm-hmm. It born again in the image of Christ as part of the body of the Messiah. So when you live according to your new nature, then you don't sin. Period. Now, is that making sense, everyone?
Yeah.
It's getting clear? Now, Danielle was bringing up a very interesting point. Can you be sinless for 120 years? Is it possible? Has to be. Why? Why can you be sinless? Well, let's just talk this part first, then we'll do the time and track it down to 1 second, or even a moment, which is less than a, can be less than a second. Can you be sinless, and by what power can you be sinless? In our own strength?
No.
In whose strength?
Christ.
Jesus.
God gave us. Now, who did God give us since Christ has returned to the Father to sit at the right hand of God? Who did he say, I will send you another, allos, one of the same class or kind. I will send you another comforter, and he will bring you, he'll guide you into all the truth. He's your teacher. He's God himself. Part of the triune nature of God. One God, not three. One, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Ah, so the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead in the plurality, the triune nature of God himself. Yes? The one
yes.
God.
Yes.
One God we serve. Right? Therefore, we have been freed by Christ by his atonement, as Revelation 1:6, that he loosed us out of the bonds of us by his blood and made us a kingdom. Priest unto the God Most High. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Now you have the power of the Holy Spirit to do what? You have the power of God not only against sin, but against the power of sin. So sin has no more power over you in your new nature. Or else what have you been saved from?
Right.
And what have you been saved to? And whose image are you born again, born from above into? So, the Holy Spirit, Danielle brought up earlier, is the gift of God that Christ gave us after his ascension and sent the Holy Spirit to us. Therefore, we have the Holy Spirit, and as we make effort to go against sin and live for Christ, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, transliterated paraclete, literally one who's called alongside to help.
Mm-hmm.
So he's called alongside to help. Don't make him the doer, and you sit alongside and help him. God set it up different. And Curry Blake of the John G. Lake Ministry taught this very well, and I'll reference him here because I believe it's true. I know it's true. I know this is true. You do, he helps. You don't do, he's waiting. So you do, he helps. You struggle against sin, he stands with you. And there's an interesting verse in Romans that talks about that he stands together with you against. It's within a verse, and it talks about that he will stand with you against something. So you have the greatest ally. So when you're dealing with something, people, you don't deal with it alone. Enjoin and ask God for his help, those that know him in a personal, vibrant relationship, and say, Lord, help me. And you step out. He is there before your next breath. And he's right there giving you the power, and you have the God-given ability to combat over every sin, sickness, disease, everything from hell itself. you do have the what? You have the
Holy Spirit.
Right, the Holy Spirit from heaven as a gift from God. And where is he? Isn't he?
Living in us.
Living in us.
Oh, he's resident in us. And since he's in us, and we can rely on his help, can we not combat sin?
Most definitely.
Okay. Can then a Christian be sinless for 120 years?
It's possible.
Okay. That's a fair statement. Can they be Christian for 10 years?
Yes.
And be sinless?
Yes.
Yes.
How about 10 minutes?
Definitely.
Not, 10 minutes.
Not counting sleep time. We're doing conscious time, okay? Can they be sinless for 10 seconds?
Yes.
Can it be sinless for 1 second?
Yes.
Can it be sinless for one thought?
Yes.
Can you have a pure thought in pure worship and love and adoration unto our Holy Christ? During that time, are you sinning?
No.
So would you say you're sinning or sinless at that time?
Sinless.
What would you say, brother?
Definitely sinless.
Okay. What is sinless? We looked at that word at an earlier show, the Holy Spirit, the Lord gave it to us there. Sinless is less sin, without sin. So either you're sinning or you're sinless, without sin in any aspect of those. Okay. So if you're sinless for a moment, let's say 1 second, I hope people don't argue that you're a sinner every single second, or else what is the benefit in that regard of the atonement of Christ and a new life that you have?
Some Christians think if we're breathing, we're sinning.
Demonstrate it then. You know, we can give any opinion or make statements about anything. Doesn't make it a correct statement.
I'm just thinking, Joel, this is such an important point. And as Danielle has said, in many churches, the believers are called sinners, which could lead them to be confused. And I'm thinking there are many examples in the Word of God where Jesus told someone, go and sin no more.
Yeah, were these the advanced rabbinic students and priesthood that he was talking to? Wasn't there a woman caught?
The woman who was caught in adultery
John
and
8.
Was brought to Jesus to stone. He told her to go and sin no more.
Okay.
That was a commandment. It wasn't a suggestion.
Interesting. She was involved in that sin not too long right before.
Right. I mean,
this was not a rape. This was an involvement there. So she was actively choosing to sin. And when he freed her and the accusers were gone, he told her to do something that she was then able to do? Or has God ever asked you to do something
No.
that you're not able to do?
She was definitely able to not sin. That's why he asked her, go and don't sin.
Well, did he ask her or did he tell her?
He told her, don't sin.
Exactly. He told her, do not sin. Go and sin. No.
No more.
Well, how long is no more?
As long as you're breathing, don't sin.
No more is ad infinitum. Yeah, it's just a state. Yes, Truman?
Another wonderful verse, it's in the Epistle of John. 1 John, I think it's chapter 2. He says, and he's talking
verse
to believers.
One. Yeah.
And he says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you do not sin.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone sins, though, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What a powerful verse that is for
Amen.
Believers.
Mm-hmm. Yeshua Mashiach HaTzadik, an advocate before the Father, Jesus the Christ, the righteous one. Very good. And now let's review that verse. Brethren, little children, I'm writing these things to you in order that you do not sin. Therefore, we're being given truth through which, by the Word of God, we are able then, as we obey it, not just to read. People, you can read the Bible, but you should be eating the Bible in a figurative sense from Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, Jeremiah is the speaker. He says, thy words, speaking about God's words, thy words were found, and I ate them. And they became for me the joy and delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of the armies. Now, interesting, they always are perfect, but he said they became for me. Now it became personal.
Yes.
Let's review that. Thy words were found, and I ate them. I took them in me. And I just scoot over my head, or I read them, and I was mentally out to lunch, as we say here. And they became for me, then, as a result of taking it in, a joy and delight of my heart. People, when you read the Bible and you study the Bible and you go through things carefully, it will change your thinking. You renew your mind. And what it may appear initially for some of you to be a discipline will become a delight. And from a delight, it'll become a greater desire. And that'll consume you and you'll be on fire for God. So stay with it. And you'll find as you seek with an open and honest heart, God's there to meet you at every turn. You don't have to look for Him far. He's right there looking for you, and you just open the door of your heart. The doors are shut on our side. Heaven's side's wide open, and Christ's arms are outstretched the way they were at Calvary. They're still outstretched for you today, saying, come. Just come as you are, but come, and come home, and come back to God.
Now, you Christians don't call yourself sinners anymore.
Yes, you may.
Amen.
Amen.
You're Christians that may sometimes
or
sin
choose,
and can choose not to sin.
Yes, you choose.
But you're Christians.
What do you want to choose?
Not sinners.
Yes, you choose not to sin. And what's one of your biggest ways not to sin? Fall in love with Jesus more.
Yes, that's good.
Now, this I learned a nice distinction from Pastor Bevere, and I agree with him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, which is quoting in John's writings, right? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, does it mean if you love me, right, you'll keep my commandments if you love me? Or does it mean if you love me, you'll keep my commandments? The force of it should be emphasized on the initial part. If you love me, right, then you'll keep my commandments. If you really love God, won't it be easy then for you to keep His commandments? If you love me, you'll do this. Not you'll do this to love me. Or you'll do that. You'll, if you love me, you'll do it. If you love someone, you're not going to go, I'm struggling with stealing from my spouse, which is crazy. You both own the same thing. Or adultery, or just fill in the blank with some wrong sin. We're all wrong. And say, let's say adultery. I'm struggling with adultery. Well, then you really don't love her. Because if you loved her, you wouldn't be fighting adultery because you're for her or for him. You would not struggle with it. If you love me, it'll be easy to keep commandments. If you're struggling keeping it, then you should be focusing on loving. Now, to quote another, Pastor Adrian Rogers, he said, you're going to submit to someone. Submit then to God first. If you're struggling against sin, turn and bend your knees to God and reach out for God. James 4 tells you very clearly, 4:7, and really is Jacob, 4:7, it says, submit first to God, then resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So submit to God, adapt yourself to God. Get in line with what he's doing, then resist, which literally in the Greek means to stand against, and the devil must flee, which means as an abject terror. So you're trying to fight the devil in your own power. You haven't submitted to God to adapt to God and get his plan on it. So you can stand. And when you stand, you're standing for God and against all that's not God. And the devil sees that. He has nothing to stand on. Therefore, he must flee. Isn't that interesting? So a Christian, again, can a Christian, we're teaching, and the title of this show is called
Can a Christian Be Sinless?
Yes. Can a Christian be sinless? And our premise is?
No.
Can a Christian be sinless?
I'm sorry, yes.
Yes,
yes, of course.
Can
yes.
a Christian sin?
Yes.
Yes.
Does a Christian have to sin?
Definitely not.
Why not? Because they have
God,
the Holy Spirit. Where? Inside you. How long is he inside you?
All the time.
Is he in and out?
No.
Is he visit?
No.
Does he just show up once in a while?
No.
No, doesn't Ephesians 1 tell us the Holy Spirit is in you and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit? So you are, the Holy Spirit is resident inside you as a down payment for our redemption, and you're sealed by him. That's better than hermetically sealed. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. It ain't getting to you. He's there. Now, since he sealed you, you're sealed. He's there, meaning that the Holy Spirit is with you. So sin is not going to be something that comes at you. You have to go after it. Now, the temptation may come in your face, but it will do nothing. It's like you're in a boat, and you're all plugged up all around. You're fully covered, and there's the ocean could be around you. You can get a little contiki, go across the Pacific, and not sink. But you can have a hole in the side of a Titanic, and you will go down.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you'll affect and infect the people around you too, who follow you or listen to you. So be careful, pastors and teachers too.
Jesus was tempted and he didn't sin, and we can also be tempted.
Right.
And we don't need to sin.
Exactly. Let's not first be naive that temptation won't come to us there. Since he tempted the Son of the living God, and he's perfect and always was, Satan's going to try to push your buttons and see if he's got a hole or an entry point somewhere. He studies us often more than we study ourselves. Let's find out who we are in God. First, who God is, who we are in God. Then we'll be able to clearly see how to deal with an enemy. And the first one is to deal with you inside, because Satan is not the real challenge. The real challenge are the, quote, the things that contend at war, the members in your part. They constantly in Romans 7 are crying out and looking to pull and press as you're dealing with what? Issues in your life. When you become a Christian, you have issues and things you still need to deal with that you haven't dealt with. But you have now the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible teaches us to judge ourselves aright and get working on it. Clean up the house. Get it fixed and get it in order. Now, if we don't do that, then that's like holding a piece of bait outside for a shark to come along, and he'll come poking at you and grabbing at you, Satan will, because you left an open door somewhere. So what should we be doing? Examining ourselves, working with the power of the Holy Spirit. And every moment you do that, you advance in sanctification toward God as you get cleansed and become more and more Christ-like in your life and your walk. So can a Christian be sinless for 1 second?
Yes.
Yes.
What is the difference between 5 minutes, Dr. Blocker, and 1 second?
That's quite a ratio.
Yes.
But it's definitely possible.
Okay. So is the difference...
It's what, a factor of 300 to 1.
Okay.
60 seconds in a minute.
Good. There we go. So 60 by 5, 300 to 1. That's what I want from you. Good. Well, I didn't even realize I wanted that. Now I appreciate it. So 300 to 1. That's the quantitative difference. What now, which we all should pay attention to, because you often make the quantitative difference the qualitative difference, and that is not the difference to make. The quantitative difference of 5 minutes to 1 second is a ratio of?
300 to 1.
Okay, so 5 minutes is merely the difference of 300 times. What is the qualitative difference between not sinning for 1 second or not sinning 300 seconds or 5 minutes? What is the qualitative difference between the two?
None.
There's none.
There is none.
Yeah.
There's no difference between not sinning for 1 second and not sinning for 5 minutes. We confuse, which is confusing, fuse things together, the qualitative and quantitative, and you're up the lake without a paddle or a boat. Okay, well, you don't get a boat in this either. You're just wrong, because there's no qualitative difference between 1 second, 5 minutes, 50 years, 120 to your last second of life. You could do it for 1 second, you could do it for two, you could do it for three. It's the same thing, just more of the same. If I put 1 foot in front of the other, having enough food and energy and strength, I could walk around the world. There's no difference except putting 1 foot in front of the other, and we'll deal with the waters and all the rest. You can transport yourself around the world 1 step at a time. So I can have 1 good thought. I can have 2. The difference is qualitatively 0, quantitatively more of the same.
So Christians, remember, being a Christian, you are not a sinner. You're a Christian who sometimes sin.
By choice.
By choice. And don't call yourself a sinner, because that's putting yourself under Satan's camp.
Where you used to be.
Where you used to be before you came to Christ.
Joel and Danielle, this brings to my mind, it's just on my heart, how important it is to immerse ourselves in the Word of God.
Yes.
Where we can understand what He wants for us. And clearly, a lot of Christians who think they call themselves sinners have simply not studied the Word of God.
Yes.
And to see what He really has for us, the
yes.
wonderful things He has for us.
Yes.
And the power that He has for us.
No question. You've been saved from sin and to a great, glorious future with God, from glory to glory, faith to faith, and strength to strength. So we're running out of time, people. Just reviewing, the name of this show today is called...
Can a Christian... Be
sinless.
Yes.
You can be, you should be, you ought to be, and with God, it must ever be. In Jesus' name, thank you for joining us today, and we bid you
Shalom.
Shalom.